It is now time for the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths in an endeavor to answer your questions. Our subject for this program is Swords into Plowshares. The hope for the future of the human family is as bright as the assurances of God's Word. In the book of Micah, I ran across this statement, that in the last days the Lord will teach men to beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and that men shall learn war no more. But first may I say that this program comes from the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine, in cooperation with many Bible study classes and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. Now, Ed, how can anything as wonderful as universal peace come to the world in the last days?
It can when we understand God's plan properly. The expression, last days, does not mean the end of human existence. The prophetic last days are a transition period during which our present evil society of sin and selfishness gives place to the authority and power of the kingdom of Christ.
In other words, it is not the last days of man himself, but the last days of all those evil activities which through the ages have contributed so much to human unhappiness.
You see, when the kingdom of the Lord is established, it will dominate the affairs of all nations.
It will, in other words, be a world government?
Yes, and the answer to every Christian's prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth even as it is in heaven."
Wonderful. But here is another question, Ed. Micah, you noticed, also speaks of the house of the Lord. What does that mean? What is the house of the Lord?
That expression was very common in the days when the people of various nations were governed by hereditary ruling families. These families, as you know, were called ruling houses. The present generation has witnessed the setting aside of nearly all the ruling houses of the old Roman world, which is one of the outstanding evidences that we're even now living in the prophetic last days, the transition period, that is, leading to the establishment of the Lord's kingdom, described in Micah's prophecy as the house of the Lord.
Then the house of the Lord is really speaking of Christ's kingdom.
Yes, it's God's house or ruling family. God's own beloved Son is the great king in this ruling house, and associated with him will be those who have followed faithfully in his footsteps during the age now ending, suffering and dying with him.
I remember now that in the New Testament, the promise is frequently made that those who suffer and die with Christ will also live and reign with him.
Yes, and these are called sons of God, and Paul says, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And Russell, the work of the Lord in the earth during the present gospel age has been the selecting of these sons who together with Jesus become his ruling house.
There is a distinction then between the rulers in the Lord's kingdom and the subjects of that kingdom.
Very definitely, and if we keep that distinction in mind in our study of the Bible, it will help us to see its marvelous harmony.
The whole human race, then, is not invited to be joint rulers with Jesus in his kingdom, it seems.
Well, Russell, that's true. It is also true that man by his own efforts can never attain the ideal state of world peace and harmony described in this prophecy. However, the prophecy itself shows that it is something which will be accomplished by the Lord and in fulfillment of His promises.
And that, Ed, raises another question. Just how is divine power employed to establish this wonderful kingdom of promise where man shall learn war no more?
Well, as we have seen, Russell, Jesus is the King of Kings in this kingdom. When he came to earth as a man at his first advent, his enemies put him to death.
But, Ed, divine power raised Jesus from the dead, remember?
Now, that's the point, Russell. In strictly human affairs, men can prevent a person from becoming king by putting him to death. But the divine plan cannot be thwarted in this way, for God raised Jesus, the future king, from the dead.
I suppose that also holds true of those faithful Christians who will be associated with Jesus as kings in God's ruling house.
Very true, very true. In the 20th chapter of Revelation, these are described as being raised from the dead. It is specifically stated that they are raised from the dead to live and reign with Christ 1,000 years.
It seems to me, though, Ed, that the bringing into being of this divine ruling house has taken a very long time.
Well, that's true, Russell, but much is involved. You see, in a sense, God's ruling house will be a representative government because its reigning kings will have been chosen from among all nations of the earth.
Not elected by the people, though. It will not be a democracy as we understand democratic governments today.
No, but chosen by God. They are described in Revelation, the 17th chapter and 14th verse, as called, chosen, and faithful. You see, one of the conditions of their being chosen is their faithfulness to the principles of righteousness, which will be the foundations of the Lord's kingdom. They are called to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. They must be willing to suffer and to die with Him if they hope to live and reign with Him.
In other words, every member of God's ruling house, or the church, must be pre-tested and pre-trained for that high position. Well, I can see how a preparatory work of that kind would require a long time. In fact, according to what you have said, it will require an entire age.
You have the right thought, Russell. The Apostle Peter urged the followers of Jesus to make their calling and election sure, and thus be worthy of an abundant entrance into the kingdom. The Lord's disciples of each generation have done this. They have been faithful unto death, and at the end of the age are raised from the dead, exalted to the divine nature with Jesus, and share with Him the rulership of His long-promised kingdom.
You say this kingdom will be on the earth. Does this mean that Christ and His church will be a visible ruling house?
No, they will not be, but there will be human representatives. Representatives who have also been tested, or pre-tested rather, and pre-trained.
And who will they be?
Well, the Bible reveals that the human representatives of the Lord's kingdom will be the resurrected ancient prophets and other faithful servants of God who served and died in His cause prior to the first advent of Christ. These also prove their fidelity to God and to God's ways, and therefore will be entrusted with the administration of the kingdom's laws.
Thank you very much, Ed, for this discussion. I have really enjoyed it. I can imagine the people then saying they want to learn the Lord's ways, and when they do, the only way that they can demonstrate their appreciation of the Lord's ways is to beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks and to learn war no more. That's wonderful. And Ed, you are sure that such a practical and wonderful arrangement is clearly promised in the Bible?
Yes, Russell, I'm so sure of that because The Bible teaches it. The scriptural proof is clearly set forth in God and Reason. And Russell, tell our friends how they may get a free copy of this very enlightening treatise on God's Word.
Thank you, Ed. I will be glad to. I do want to tell our listeners about the little book, God and Reason. I have received so much benefit from reading it myself. It presents a comprehensive outline of the plan of God as it pertains to the restoration of the human race from sin and death. In its examination of the prophecies concerning our day, it answers the questions, what is the end of the world? That's a question that is asked so many times. What are the last days? What is the time of the end? Do you know that the marvelous inventions of our day are foretold in the Bible? That surprises a lot of people. How do we know that the kingdom of the Lord, which Ed has just been discussing, will soon manifest itself in power and great glory, assuring us of peace and happiness and health and everlasting life? All these questions are answered in God and Reason. So send now for your copy. Address your request to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. The address again, Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Simply ask for the Reason book. Just the one word Reason is all you need to remember, and it will be sent to you free by mail.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.